This morning, if you would, take your Bible and turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 13 to the end of the chapter is the text for the message this morning. Last week, we looked at the story of the blind man who was healed by Jesus. He'd been blind from birth, the condition over which he had no control. He could not help himself. But in compassion, Jesus saw him and restored his sight, bringing a great change, obviously, to the man's life, which was evident to all and testified, of course, of the power of Jesus Christ to not only be the one who healed and so on, but also testified to the fact that he was the Messiah. He was prophesied to open the eyes of the blind. The man's disappointment, as in he was blind for his life, was God's appointment for something special in his life, and that was to be restored, of course, this man's sight to be restored. We left off the story in verse 12, but that is far from being the end of the story. Yes, the man had received his sight. No, he didn't lose it again. He kept his sight, but there's much more that takes place between verse 13 and the end of the chapter. And, to be physically blind would be a difficult thing, for sure. I don't think there's anybody who would choose to be blind, whether from birth or losing sight somewhere along the way. And sometimes as old age, sometimes in different stages of life, different reasons, people become blind, accidents and so on. Nobody would choose to do that. And there are a lot of things that help people with disabilities today, of all kinds. And so we have a lot more means to help people, even who are blind, and different things like that. But still, nobody would choose to be blind, I'm sure. And I in no way wish to diminish the seriousness of physical blindness when I say this, but there is something that is far more significant than being physically blind, and that is to be spiritually blind. To be physically blind lasts for time, and that could be a long time, a long life, and it would feel like a long time. But to be spiritually blind, unless you are come to the Lord and receive your spiritual sight, will last not only for time, but also for eternity. And so I would say to you this morning that there's something more significant than being physically blind. I'd venture to say that offered the opportunity of seeing every physically blind person, if you went and told them, we can get your sight, I don't think any of them would turn you down. I'm sure that every person would say, then do it. I'd love to be able to see. I don't want to be blind anymore. They recognize their blindness. They recognize what they miss, and they would have a desire to see. Having said that, strangely enough, for a number of years when I was a child, I am quite nearsighted, and I've gotten worse even since then. I needed glasses. I had glasses, and I would not wear those glasses because they weren't cool. I guess, I don't know, I was 8 years old. You got to be cool when you're eight, don't you? I wouldn't wear glasses, and I refused. My dad sometimes would drive me to school for the one purpose of making sure I had my glasses with me. And when we got to the school, I would open the door quick, run out and leave the glasses on the seat and try and get away without wearing my glasses. One day when we moved to Canada, I was in class and the teacher called me up to the front. And I thought, uh-oh, what did I do? And his purpose was to give me my glasses that my parents had dropped off at the school to give to me. I tried to put them in my pocket or, not have them visible to anybody to see. And, of course, the other students are, what happened? What did he want? What do you want? Oh, nothing. Strange, isn't it? Why would I not want to see? My dad always said to me, I don't understand you, son. I've needed glasses. I had glasses. I got them broken so many times when I was going to school and so on by the other kids and making fun of me and so on. And still, he said, I loved having my glasses. I could see. He said, I don't understand you, son. And like I said, I don't understand me now, looking back either. But I would say to you that most people would want to see and desire to see clearly. I was one of those instead. I sat there and pulled the back corners of my eyes back and squinted as much as I could to try and figure out what was on the board and so on without. But in our text and in our society, we find that there was not only a physical blindness, but in a spiritual blindness. And there's people who were spiritually blind that we'll see in our text this morning, not because they had to be, but because they chose to be. And it's the same today. There are people who are spiritually blind because they don't recognize their condition and they're not willing to believe in the one who can restore their sight. We often sing that familiar song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What does John Newton say? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That's a song that many people know off by heart, and it's probably sung at every Scottish festival. He's played on bagpipes at every Scottish festival and every kind of thing like that. A lot of people, a lot of funerals, a lot of things. And I'm persuaded that probably 90% of the people who utter those words really don't understand what it means when John says, I was blind, but now I see. Because they are still blind, still spiritually blind. I'm sure we've all lost something or missed seeing something that was right before our eyes and had somebody see it, point it out to us and say, are you blind? It's right there. Perhaps even when discussing something with somebody and somebody can't see where you're coming from, we ask the same question. You say, are you blind? Do you not see what I'm getting at here? This morning, I would ask you as we consider our text this morning, are you blind? I hope you're not. But it could be that you are, and this morning you would be able to be, in realizing your blindness, made to see. John chapter 9 verse 13 says, and they brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. The one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man will be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that a man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for this portion of Scripture today and pray that through it you speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would recognize in our own lives whether we are blind, not physically. I don't believe there's anybody here that's blind physically, but spiritually, if we have not been made to see by Jesus Christ, I pray that today we would have our eyes opened to the gospel, that we would be saved, forever changed, as the man who we have read about was changed by receiving his physical sight. So, Lord, we would recognize the change that you would bring in our life when we receive our spiritual sight. Lord, may those of us who have our spiritual sight also realize and recognize the need of those round about us. And also, Lord, that we would see in our own lives perhaps areas where we have been blind to things in our lives that we need to see. And Lord, that you speak to each one of us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, this man was sharing his story in verses 13 to 17. Last week we read about his story at the beginning of the chapter. In verses 13 to 17 we read of how he shared his story and about how he was questioned about it. You see, in verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees. Now that in itself would not necessarily be a bad thing. It could be a good thing if it was done for the right reason, but we find that it was not necessarily done for the right reason. It would be nice to think that they brought him to the Pharisees to show what this man's life had been changed and who had changed it. And they said, look what Jesus has done for this man. Isn't that great? But sadly, that is not the reason that they brought him. Rather than rejoice in the healing of the man, they seemed to look for fault against him and against Jesus Christ. Fault against this man would have him removed from the synagogue, as we read later in the chapter in verse number 22. You see, verse 14 tells us that the problem arose that this healing was taking place on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath had been set aside by God as a day of rest. It had been given as a sign between God and Israel. And God said many times to Israel that the Sabbath was a sign between him and them. Unfortunately, the Jews had taken that day that was meant for good, and they had added all kinds of stipulations and rules and regulations to it to make it so that it was an onerous thing. They could not walk more than a certain number of steps. They could not do this, and they could not do that. And it was all kinds of laws added to God's design of a day of rest to make it a religious ritual day that was very onerous to people and very restrictive in many ways that God had not designed it to be so. For this man being healed on the Sabbath day really was very appropriate, wasn't it? He had a rest that he had never had before. He was able to see what he had never seen before. He was able to rejoice in things that he could not rejoice in. I'm sure a lot of things were put to rest in his mind that day. Then he said, this is the greatest Sabbath day that there's ever been, because he'd received his sight. He was given rest from the stress of blindness itself and also from the cultural stigma that was attached to it. No longer having to beg and wonder how he would survive from one day to the next, he was able to rest. An appropriate day, an appropriate thing to take place on this Sabbath day. Many of Jesus' miracles were performed on the Sabbath day, and it got Jesus in a lot of trouble many times with the Jewish crowd because of his healing on the Sabbath day. But he would say, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And so this man was brought to the Pharisees. He'd been healed on the Sabbath day. They were not looking for good. They were looking to find fault. And so they said, How did you get healed? Tell us what happened. And he just tells them simply, Jesus put clay on my eyes. He told me to go and wash. I washed and I came seeing. It's that simple. I just followed the instruction of Jesus and now I can see. Simple faith in Jesus' words had made all the difference in his life, and he came seeing. In verses 16 and 17, it becomes very evident that the Pharisees were blind. They were blind to who Jesus was.
They didn't want to acknowledge and accept who Jesus was. This man told them, Jesus just opened mine eyes, and they first thing they said is, this man is not of God. They were blinded to the very evident miracle that nobody had ever been able to do before, healing a man who was blind from birth. Who else could do that but somebody from God? And yet they were blinded. They could not see that Jesus was from God. They didn't take the story at its face value and seek to honor Jesus, but they denied that he was of God. How could they be so blind to deny the obvious? The blind man, on the other hand, could clearly see who Jesus was. He says he's a prophet. A prophet, somebody sent from God. Somebody sent with a message from God, because that was what a prophet was. He brought the message from God to man. This man said, listen, this has to be a prophet. He didn't know Jesus well. We'll talk about that in a moment. But he didn't recognize the work Jesus was done was not something that any ordinary man could do of himself. He wasn't ashamed to state that Jesus was of God, though he knew that that was not the popular opinion of his day. But he saw it, and he declared it. He couldn't deny the change that Jesus had made in his life. We see that the story was confirmed in verses 18 to 23, as we read them this morning. Not believing that Jesus had healed this man, not believing that he'd ever been blind, they go and find the man's parents. It can't possibly be that this man could be born blind and now he can see. That's just never happened before. So therefore, there's only one solution. He couldn't have been born blind. And we're going to seek to prove it by getting his parents, and they'll tell us, no, he's always had his sight. He's been faking it all this time, and he's really has been able to see. So prejudiced against Jesus they were that they refused to acknowledge what Jesus could do. But what did his parents do? His parents said, this is our son, and he was definitely born blind. It's true. He was blind. He's been blind from birth. But they said, if you want to find out how he was healed, you're going to have to talk to him about that. He is of age, ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself. Rather than find Jesus and hug him and thank him, they shunned the Lord. Isn't that a strange thing? Jesus had just given their son sight. Something that they probably had mourned their whole life that their son could not see. And now the day that he can see, rather than go and look up the man who gave him his sight, they said, you're going to have to talk to our son about that part. Go talk to him about that. Yeah, we're glad he can see, but hey, go talk to him. They wanted nothing to do with the one who had given their son sight. They wanted nothing to do with the one who had stood in their defense when the disciples said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither did this man sin nor his parents. The stigma that they had been had ever since their son had been born blind, that maybe they sinned and that's why their son was born blind, was gone that day. Jesus stood in their defense, and yet they said, go see our son. He'll tell you about that. We don't want anything to do with this Jesus. I'm sure they were happy about the change, but wanted nothing to do with the one who had brought it about and what he could do for them. You see, they were blind. You see, no, it was their son that was blind. No, their son now could see. They were still blind. They were blind to who Jesus was and what he could do for them also. They were blinded by the peer pressure of that religious system. You see, they were told if they would confess Jesus that they would be put out of the synagogue. And so the peer pressure said, we cannot acknowledge Jesus. Therefore, go and talk to our son about this person who has made him be able to see. You know, there are people today who are just like these parents. They're happy that somebody has been changed from crime, saved from crime, immorality, addiction, and so on, but they're unwilling to hear about the one who has changed that person's life. Oh, they're happy that that person's life has changed, but don't talk to me about who changed their life. We don't want anything of it. We don't have the problems that that person had. Therefore, we don't need to hear about the one who changed their life. And they're unwilling to come and see what Jesus can do for them. And so this story that was reaffirmed and told and reaffirmed then began a discussion about Jesus Christ and who He was and what He had come to do. And in verses 24 to 34, we find this discussion as we've read it this morning. They got nowhere with the parents other than to confirm that this man had been born blind. And so they go back to the man who had been born blind. We'll go back to him. We'll see if we can find out some more about what's going on. Verse 24 sounds at the beginning of it like a good thing. They called the man that was born blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise." That's good. That's appropriate. That's right. Give God the praise. The first part sounds so good, but unfortunately their praise to God had a caveat in it, didn't it? Because they said, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Somehow you've miraculously been healed by a divine intervention of God that has nothing to do with this Jesus whom you're speaking about." How foolish. They were blind, weren't they? They were blinded to who Jesus was, that Jesus was God. Their statement, "Give God the praise," just is in total contradiction for this man as a sinner. Their continual denial of Jesus is evident. They were blind as to who Jesus was. The man responds and says, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." He didn't have a lot of knowledge. He hadn't been to Bible college. He hadn't been and hadn't spent a lot of time with Jesus. Matter of fact, realize this, according to what we read in our text last week and this week, comparing the two together, at this point in time, this man had never seen Jesus. Jesus told him to go and wash, and he went and washed and came seeing. It would seem by the story that at that point, when this man came back, Jesus wasn't right there. Later in our text, we find that he did see Jesus. Jesus saw him, found him, and so on. But at this point in time, this man knew little to nothing about Jesus. He knew one thing. Jesus had made him see something that had never been heard of before. He said, "All I know is before I met Jesus, I couldn't see, and now I can. I don't know anything about him. You say he's a sinner? I don't know. All I know is I can see now, and I could not see before." You know, when a person first believes in Jesus Christ and receives him as their Savior, their knowledge of him may be very small. But a lack of knowledge is no reason that we can't tell somebody, "He's changed my life. I'm not the same person that I was before." That is not to say that we should remain untaught and ignorant. The Bible says of some that at the time they ought to be teachers, they needed to be taught again. What was the problem? They hadn't grown in their faith. That was a shame to them. They should have grown in their faith. We should desire to grow in our faith. At this time in this man's life, it was the day he got his sight. He'd never seen Jesus. Then he said, "I don't know anything about him except he forever changed my life." But then they're still blinded to the obvious again. They say to him, "What did he do to thee? Tell us how he opened your eyes." He said, "I've told you before. Are you going to listen this time? You want to be his disciples? I'll tell you again. I'll tell you what he did." He was amazed. He couldn't believe they wanted to hear it again. He was amazed that they could see what Jesus had done, yet not believe in him. I almost wonder if there wasn't just a little bit of sarcasm in his voice, don't you? "Will ye also be his disciples? Really? You want me to tell you again? You know I've been, was born blind. You went and checked up with my parents. You know I was born blind. You know this is not the way I was before. He changed my life, and yet you still want me to tell you again? It's really simple. Clay on the eyes, wash, came seeing, we're done here. I mean, what else do you want to know? But do you realize that by saying what he said, will ye also be his disciple? That this man was declaring also, was meaning that maybe he says, I want to be his disciple. Will ye be his disciples also? Will ye also be his disciples? Certainly Jesus was worth learning from. A disciple is a learner or a student of. And this man recognized that if he can heal me, I want to know more about him. If he can change my life, he can give me my sight, I want to know more about who he is. The Pharisees distanced themselves from Jesus and said, you may be his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples, folks. We know all about Moses. Moses of God, this guy, we don't know anything about him. That's because you're blind, Pharisees. You're blind, you cannot see the obvious. It's very clear who he is and who he is of. Why cannot you see that? But the man says, at the very least, you have to acknowledge he has to be of God. I don't know much about him, but it seemed like the more this man thought about what Jesus had done, he said, listen, you have to realize he has to be of God, because never has it ever been heard in history that somebody could heal a person who was born blind. He did it. There's got to be something to him. He has to be of God. At very least, you have to acknowledge that. He's performed a miracle that's unheard of, a sure indication that he's of God. God heard his prayer. He can't be that bad of a person. He must be of God. That God would hear his prayer. The more the man thought about Jesus, what Jesus had done, his faith became deeper. You know that ought to be the case. The more we realize what God has done, salvation is so simple. That man said, had the clay put on his eyes, he went and he came seeing. It was very, very simple. But I'm sure the more it sunk in, how much his life had changed by that simple act of faith of following what Jesus had said, the more it sunk in as to who, what God had done for him that day, it ought to be the same in our lives. Salvation is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then be saved. Realize you're a sinner, realize you're blind, receive his gift of spiritual sight. It's so simple, it's so easy, but when you stop and you look back, you say, wow, look what he did for me. Look what a change he's made in my life. And our faith ought to become deeper. But they didn't want to hear anything of that. What did they say? They said, you were born in sin and you're telling us. Back to this thing, the stigma. You were blind, therefore you were born in sin, and you are trying to tell us, religious elite, who is of God here? Come on. So blinded were they spiritually. They could not see. They refused his testimony and the practical application of what had happened and blindly turned on him. But in the end of the chapter, we find that true blindness is really revealed. Who is really blind? Well, not the man who had been blind. He could now see. But in verse 35, look at it with me again. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. See, they cast him out of the synagogue. They said, you're not welcome here anymore. Are you following that Jesus? You're trying to teach us. You're a sinner and you're trying to teach us. Forget it. You're out of here. In verse 35 said, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. This man's faith was reinforced in a great way right here in these verses. He believed in Jesus. He believed Jesus was from God. That was his testimony already. He wanted to know more. But can you imagine the mixed emotions of the day this man was having so far? The morning started out, he was blind. That had been his life. Every day he would be placed in a spot to beg for his daily sustenance, his living. He'd been told that all his life, his blindness was his fault. But this day, he'd received his sight. He'd been told that his blindness wasn't his fault nor his parents' fault. He'd had his life changed, and I'm sure he was looking forward to fitting in with society, being able to go to the synagogue with everybody else, being able to be involved in things that he'd never been involved with before. Yet he found himself in the middle of a controversy. The community of people that he thought he would be able to fit in better with, all of a sudden he was shunned by and pushed away from because of the one who'd given him his sight. The very one who had changed his life forever was also the catalyst of a controversy that kept him from fitting in with the people with whom he expected to fit into. He found himself rejected and cast out of the synagogue. He found that his own parents were saying, go talk to him about that. We don't want any part of that part. Shunned by people he probably expected to go and give his mom and dad a hug and say, look, I can see, can you believe it? I'm sure he was confused, discouraged, disheartened. What a whirlwind of a day. How could he take it all in? But things were about to get a lot better. Things were about to be made a lot clearer for this man because Jesus went and found him. Jesus knew about the man's plight and he came alongside to comfort him. He revealed himself to the man. Again, this man had not seen Jesus before. Do you believe in the Son of God? Jesus said. This man said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? This man saying, wait a minute, this voice sounds familiar, but I've never seen this person before. Who are they? He'd heard many voices down through his life of the people whom he had never seen. And this man saying to him, to the man who'd been blind, Jesus is saying to him, he's saying, do you believe in the Son of God? Voice. Wasn't that the voice that told me to go and wash, and I came, and now I can see? And Jesus says to him, when he said, who is he? Jesus said, you have both seen him. Wow, you've seen him. Who is it that gave you your sight, sir? You've seen him, and it's him who talketh with thee. The man recognized, of course, this is Jesus. This is the one who gave me my sight. What did he do? He says, Lord, I believe. Of course I believe in you. Of course I believe in who you are. You gave me my sight. I knew you were of God, and now I understand who you are. I believe, and he worshipped him. He professed his faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and worshipped him, thankful for his sight and changed life, thankful for Jesus' presence and comfort, thankful that Jesus was not a sinner, but the Savior, not a man, but the Messiah. But then this leads to a conversation that Jesus has with this man about what real blindness is. Not the physical, but the spiritual, the stubborn blindness of man. Jesus said that coming into this world would result in the blind receiving their sight. He was testimony to that. He had received his sight. But he said the ones who see, or at least think they can see, they will be made to realize that they are blind. They'll be spiritually blinded. The spiritual state of people. The Pharisees then said, because evidently they overheard this conversation, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. They said, are we blind also? What a statement. What a question. Are we blind? If only they'd been asking it in honesty and sincerity. I think they were asking it sarcastically because as far as they were concerned, they could see clearly. They'd never had a problem with their physical vision. But they asked this question of Jesus, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. See, they thought the blind were sinners and that they weren't because they could see. Jesus said, if you were blind, or if you would realize that you were blind, you would have no sin. Why? Because you would, if you realize you were blind, you would come to the one who could give you your sight and you would be forgiven and you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore you're blind. Because you won't acknowledge the fact that you are blind, your sin remains. You're not forgiven. You haven't experienced the blessing of receiving your spiritual sight. You haven't experienced the blessing of being forgiven of your sin because you will not believe in the one who came to save you. You think you're all good. And so therefore, you remain a sinner. The ones who realize they are sinners, they receive forgiveness and their spiritual sight. But you, because you will not acknowledge it, you remain blind and you remain in your sin. How sad. How sad that they maintained their self-righteousness and remained blind. Blind to their sin, they could only see their self-righteousness. They blindly refused to see the evidence of who Jesus was. The evidence was right there. They said, no, we won't believe. We think we're fine just the way we are. If that man who at the beginning of the chapter had been sat there who was physically blind had said, I'm fine just the way I am, there's nothing wrong with me, people would have said, you're foolish, you don't understand, you're blind, you cannot see. And yet at the end of the chapter, Jesus says, here's some people who think they're fine, but they're blind. They cannot see. We began with the question, are you blind? You may have thought, of course I'm not. I drove here. I hope I'm not blind. I'm not blind, but that's what these people thought too. But they were blind. You know, sadly, they were willingly blind. Kind of like me. When I said, yeah, I know there's glasses that can help me see, but I don't want them because I don't want the peer pressure of having to be wearing glasses. These people were blind, willingly blind. They could not see, and yet they were unwilling to receive the one who could give them their sight because that would mean changes in their life. That would mean some people would maybe reject them because they would be, like the parents were afraid of, cast out of the synagogue. Maybe you've been blinded by peer pressure of those around you. Blinded to the evidence of God's work in the lives of others. You said, that's fine for them. I'm glad their life has changed, but they can keep it because I'm fine. Are you fine? Or are you like the disciples who Jesus says, if you just realize you're blind, you'd be forgiven. But now your sin remaineth. Blinded to your own sinfulness and need of a Savior is a sad place to be. The Bible tells us that the devil intentionally attempts to keep people blinded to the gospel. He blinds the eyes of them that believe not, lest at any time the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. People say, no, I'm fine. Just leave me alone and I'm fine in my own little thing. That's what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to think you're fine just the way you are. But Jesus wants you to realize all of us were born blind spiritually. We need to receive our sight. John Newton received his when he realized the amazing grace of God. Have you received your sight today? God wants you to see. He wants you to see who you are and who He is so that you can be saved from your sin. That's why He came. Christian, maybe you're a little bewildered like the man who received his sight. You say, praise God, I know, I remember I received the Lord, but things in my life changed so greatly, and yet people who I thought would be happy for me, they're not. And I feel like I'm shut out of the lives of people who I thought would be happy that my life had changed. Would you realize today that Jesus is there? He's alongside you. He wants to comfort you and to help you realize He's there with you. Yes, He changed your life, and yes, it may have caused some controversy in your life, but He wants you to learn more about Him so He can reveal Himself to you. And so he can show himself through your life to those other people as you live out your life, and so he can change them too. Christian, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ, following him and learning about him? Or are you like the blind man was at the first, saying, when he received his sight, saying, all I know is this, I once was blind, but now I see, and that's as far as I want to go. The Bible tells us that those who receive the Lord should be follow the Lord in obedience, be baptized. Follow the Lord in obedience to learn of him, to grow in their faith. That like newborn babies, they should desire the milk of the Word of God so that they can grow in their faith. Are you wanting to grow in your faith to learn more about the Lord? Yes, you can tell people what he's done for you, no matter how little you know about him, if you know he saved you. But wouldn't you like to know more about the one who's given you your sight? Will you be his disciple also? Realize we have a job to do. If we've received our sight, we ought to worship him. But we also are given a job as Christians to help the blind to see. Paul was told by God, when God called him to serve him, he said, I want you, Paul, to go and open the eyes of the blind. That's what we are to do by our testimony, by our words, by our life, is to seek to open the eyes. We can't do the miracle of salvation, but we can tell them about the one who can save them. To open the eyes of the blind. Don't be blind to your God-given mission. Don't hide the gospel, for if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.